I will never forget the night it like ended. The next day I woke up and I had to teach 2 fitness classes. I then in front to 50 people each. I then had to go on 3 meetings. And I remember waking up sobbing and I'm like, I have to put on a face right now and I have to go for it. And this quote always stuck with me was, just because you have a good attitude doesn't mean you always feel good. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no matter what I do, I'm gonna have that good attitude because these people are filling my cup without even realizing what they're about to do for me.
Let's link up with Krista on The Fix. She's a wellness coach with a focus on mental well-being and physical strength.
Hello, Fix listeners. Welcome to our latest episode of the Fix podcast. I'm your host, Krista Huber. If this is your first time joining us, so happy to have you here. You are in for a lot of fun with this conversation and a lot of real, raw truths for two women, myself and my amazing guest, who I'm so excited to introduce to this audience, who have been through a lot of shit. Like a lot of you listening to this, that universal human experience of making tough decisions, figuring out what you want out of life. And we just decided to record a podcast so that we could give our perspective on how much we've grown in that time. And my guest today is my dear friend, fellow fitness and nutrition coach, owner of an amazing online coaching community called the Stretch Society. And that is Paige Marks. Paige is somebody who was experiencing the same exact personal situations as me, and we didn't even know it. We would connect on Instagram. We lived in the same city, would just bounce ideas back and forth with each other talking about business. And over time, developed this really cool friendship through social media without even actually meeting in person because we both show up in full honesty and authenticity in everything we do. And I think that really shows through in the rest of this conversation. So much so that I want to say to kick this off, I have re-recorded this introduction multiple times. And every time I get halfway through it, I'm like, oh, I wanted to say this, or, oh, I wish I had brought up that point. And it's difficult to really summarize what the top takeaways from this episode are because one, we cover a lot of ground. But two, because I've had some time in the last few days to really sit and reflect with the perspective that I shared and even listening to it back, I've just had this moment of like, wow, I am in such a different place than I was 4 years ago when a lot of these decisions were made. And I'm really proud that I documented a lot of that to be able to listen to it and now see what my growth has been like. But to recount some of the feelings, the emotions, the stories I was telling myself that weren't even in fact true, I'm really grateful to have this platform and to have made the decision to start the Fix podcast because of parts of my life that I was actually embarrassed about, ashamed about, felt like I couldn't talk about. And now sitting here 4 years later and really feeling so comfortable to be like, hey, these are the things I learned. Maybe it'll help somebody else. If it does, amazing. And I know that Paige feels that same exact way. So we say it a few times throughout this episode, but this episode is really for somebody who, if you're at any point in your life where you feel a little bit of confusion, this happens to be my favorite part. So it's my favorite takeaway from the show. It's okay to not know what the next step is going to be. Just take the first step that feels right for you. And if you don't know what the one is after that and the one after that, that's okay. You don't need to. And take it from two people who call ourselves big planners. That was really hard for both of us in choosing to walk away from very serious relationships, calling off weddings. And we both had different experiences and the reasons why we decided to leave and what wasn't working. And that's really not what this episode is about. It's more just about you getting very clear on what it is that you want and you taking that self-responsibility to know that you can create the life that you're dreaming of, because you can. Most people struggle to get very clear on what it is that they want in the first place. So whether you've been in a committed relationship for years, or you're questioning if the relationship you're in is right for you, or if you're the person out there being like, when will I meet my person? There's something in this episode for anyone in any one of those stages of life. But I also want to really highlight the fact that if you feel like you are not in a place in your life that you want to be, and you just want somebody to vent to about it, both of us are here. And when we say that, we generally mean it, because we know what it's like to feel confused. We know what it's like to get tons of unsolicited advice. We also know how lucky we are to have had support from really close friends, family members, in navigating these times of uncertainty for ourselves. I also want to acknowledge the fact that it's a lot easier to sit here and tell these stories now today, 4 years later, and be proud of the growth that I've had in my own life, even in just the way I remember it and the way I can recount it and the lessons I feel that I took from those experiences. But that didn't come without a lot of hurt and a lot of confusion and just surrendering to the process of this, it is what it is. And I'm so grateful for all of the experiences that I've had that have led me to this point, to where I am right now today, in this exact moment where I'm sitting here recording this introduction. And I'm especially grateful because all of these life experiences define how we coach inside of the Fitness Fix community. And I don't think that I could possibly be the coach I am today with the perspective that I have and the amount of gratitude I have for people who are willing to trust in the Fitness Fix community, in our brand, in our coaching staff, to help you figure out what that next answer is for you. I just want to thank you. I know we have a lot of listeners who are clients too, and I appreciate you guys. And I appreciate you every single week for showing up here and your decision to listen to this podcast, because it means more than I can possibly say. So with that, let's welcome my girl Paige to the Fix Podcast. Paige, welcome to the Fix Podcast, a conversation that has been brewing, I think we're going to say, for like 2 years. If we're being honest. Yeah.
I would say 2 years. Yeah. We
have a lot to discuss and a lot to unpack. And I do want to preface this episode a little differently with the Fix listeners in saying, this is just a conversation between two friends who have had like parallel lives without knowing it. Right. Cause I think we were going through things like, maybe it happened to me a few months before you, or like a year before you, and I had no idea and you had no idea.
1000%.
We are going to talk about all of things, relationships, dating, going after everything you want in your life. There's so much for us to unpack in this episode. So everybody needs to buckle up, which I usually don't say at the beginning of this podcast, but this is a different kind of episode. And before we get into it, what is your go-to coffee order? Because that's the question I ask every Fix guest.
I love it. I love it. I would say an iced oat milk latte with vanilla, half sweet with a sweet and low.
I finally have somebody more specific. My last, like, I love my guests, but my last like 5 guests have just been like, I just drink black coffee. And like, that's cool. No. We get the caffeine, we get it done. But like, I have my latte, I have my almond milk in there, and it's an experience. You got to romanticize the little things in your life, you know?
Experience. I love it. I love it. Hell yeah.
Yeah. So where do we want to start?
Where do we even begin?
Typically, when I have a guest on the show, I always ask the question of, forget your resume. It's important, the work that you do, of course. And I do want to tie back a lot of this conversation to our own fitness and nutrition journeys, because I think that's important. But getting a little deeper right out of the gate and asking, why should we care about what you have to say? So how does that kind of land for you in the context of thinking about relationship?
Yeah, great question. So I would say I have been through it. And I know there's a lot of people, I get DMs about this all the time of like, I'm going through a breakup, or I'm going through this. And I always want to say, like, I'm not saying my way is the right way. And I'm not saying that I've been through the most horrible situation anyone has, because I know I haven't. And I would also say too, like, there's probably a lot of different ways I could have handled what I did, but I have been to a point where I have been with somebody that I thought was forever. And then it ends up being a fuck no. Cause I'm always the type of person where I'm like, if it's not a fuck yes, it's a fuck no. And that really started from the journey of relationships. So I will say that the reason to listen to me is I've been in that hard place that so many women are in right now. And I know, because my DMs are full of them, and I'm happy to talk to anyone. So please keep filling my DMs. But I've been that girl that was like, why do I feel like this isn't a fuck yes? And how do I leave? And I'm so afraid I'm just going to stay.
Yeah. And it's interesting to hear you say how many people are in your DMs asking this question, because I also canceled a wedding 4 years ago now, and it's crazy that it's already been 4 years. And whenever someone asks me, like, when did your Instagram start to grow? It was actually when I started talking about that. And I went through an experience of legitimately just peeling back every aspect of my life and being like, this doesn't feel right. This doesn't feel right. And I mean, my job, what I wanted for my career, and my relationship. So I quit the job, I ended the relationship, and I moved. And then 3 months into that experience of like making these decisions, then COVID happens. My way of handling it, let's say, was I am just not going to talk to anybody for like 6 months. And I went into a full-blown like hibernation, not on social media, lots of people reaching out to me and me just like not answering them because I wasn't ready. And I didn't know how to talk about it. And I'd love to kind of know from you, because I've never actually asked you this question personally, but it was a moment that I remember for me of like wrestling with, okay, where do I go from here? What did it feel like to do things like delete the engagement photos? Because that's when you know people are going to start asking. I had a hard time with that.
See, it's funny because we had very different experiences. I actually hid a lot of it from the world because I was, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I'm some like influencer, big fitness page, right? Like I have 7,000 followers, which is great. And I love all my people. I'm not diminishing that, but I'm just saying, it's not like I was like Caitlin Bristow, who when she just broke her news, it was like all over the planet, right?
Yeah.
But it felt that way because who I was dating at the time, we both had businesses and his was front facing in the city we were in. So we had kind of said like, we'll kind of take this private for a while. And I was going through it without people knowing. Like, I will never forget, and this will tie back into your question, I promise, but I will never forget the night it like ended. The next day I woke up and I had to teach 2 fitness classes. I then in front to 50 people each, I then had to go on 3 meetings. And I remember waking up sobbing and I'm like, I have to put on a face right now and I have to go for it. And this quote always stuck with me was, just because you have a good attitude doesn't mean you always feel good. And I was like, no matter what I do, I'm going to have that good attitude because these people are filling my cup without even realizing what they're about to do for me. So it started there. And then I slowly finally got to the point where I was like, I need to like get this out of my life, because what was happening was people, and I don't blame them. I thought about this a lot and I was like, you know what? I don't blame them because I've been the same way in situations. And also like people are curious and that's not a bad thing, but I was getting DMs from people that didn't even follow me of like, hey, like any wedding plans? I was getting friends texting me being like, hey, my friends are asking me like, what do you want me to say? Like it ended up being a secret when it didn't have to be. I was just healing in private. And like, that's what people don't see. And I think that's what's not on Instagram enough is like, not everyone's going to put their healing journey out there. I sure didn't. I was healing, crying in therapy in my mom's arms, like all in private. So the healing was actually a lot longer than most people think. Cause even today people are like, I don't know, been that long. And I'm like, you have no idea. Cause I never just put it out there. Which I think is funny, Krista, cause I feel like we were the opposite in that. Like you really spoke to your people about like what you were going through and like, you like had them on this journey with you. Meanwhile, I'm hiding in the corner and I'm like, I can't delete my photos yet. Cause you're all here's all that. Like, here's where all that comes in.
It's like so interesting to hear you have that perception, because I did like, when you're going through it, you feel like you're going dark for like so long, especially when you know that you have had this audience on this journey with you. And like, in my mind, I would just, when I was like really in the thick of even trying to make the decision to actually end the relationship, because it takes a lot of time. Like, this is not a simple thing to walk away from. No. And I put so much emphasis around like being afraid of people asking the questions. So I hesitated to delete things. I hesitated to answer people when I was in the thick of it.
Become your personality.
Yes, exactly. And then you just feel like it's so consuming. Whereas even now I've thought about like, how much do I want to talk about this anymore? Because I've moved on in so many aspects of my life, especially because I went through the questioning of my career at the same time that this happened. And so it was these two massive things, right? Like, I just couldn't figure out what my purpose was in any capacity. And that felt really scary for someone who previously, if you asked 18-year-old Krista, and this is what I've figured out really resonated on social media by being an open book about it, was that so many people are like, yeah, I thought I saw this other life for myself. And then if I did pursue it, I realized how unhappy I was. Or if I just didn't know what the right answer was. And it became such a great reminder and like a sense of healing and the fact that there's a lot of people who don't know what the right answer is. And everyone's out here just in that fake it till you make it. And I do want to acknowledge one thing you just said about needing to wake up and teach fitness classes, because there's a lot of this that not that I don't remember, but I just kind of blocked it out. It was a hard time. So some of the details don't come back up unless I have conversations like this. I remember calling my mom and telling her that I was going to make the decision to leave the relationship, and I had to go teach a class too. And I was on the phone with her driving there, and I was crying, and I was like, how am I going to do this? Like, these people are just going to know that my energy's off. They're going to be able to tell. I have to. And it was a brand new studio that I was working in. Like, the momentum was really high of opening this new gym. And I wanted to deliver because that was important to me. That professionalism was important to me. And it made me really actually start to question my space in the fitness industry, because I was like, wow, how can I go through personal shit and do this type of work? I didn't know that I didn't know if I was capable. And that was tough.
Well, I think it's so hard too, because when you own your own business, and when you're doing fitness even, right? Like, I will never forget that day that I taught those classes, because it's like, it's not about you anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's the hardest part. Like, I didn't work during this transition, during all these changes, I didn't work a 9-to-5 where I could just call my boss and be like, hey, I need to take a week vacation. I need to take off. It was like, I remember I was having one of the biggest launches of my business, and I will never forget. I got on all of those calls and I was sitting there and I was looking back at myself in the mirror and I was like, no one has any idea what you're doing. And they didn't need to, but I'm always so close with my people that it just felt so foreign to me being on these phone calls, being like, you have no idea that I'm going through like one of the biggest heartaches of my life. And we're just sitting here talking about your nutrition goals, and you just have to keep going. And mm-hmm. That's the hardest part, is that like, when you go through one of these big things and you're not working corporate or you're not answering to somebody else, like, that's the time you miss answering to someone else. Cause you're like, I can't just call you and be like, I need a week. You're like, okay, I'm still in it. Like, I still have to, the show still has to go on. I can't just like stop and be like, okay, I'm going to take a day. It's like, nope, you got to keep going.
How has that realization now, let's say you were to face another significant life event, knowing that you've been through that, how do you feel now? Like, how does that make you feel like you could show up differently or just be essentially prepared in a different way?
I think honestly, like, none of that shit matters. Like, I tell people, I'm like, yes, none of that shit matters. Like, my business still would have thrived. I still would have been okay. I ended up getting COVID from doing all of this and still being like, literally, I ended up getting COVID. And I remember I was laying in my sister's bed and I was like, I feel sick. I took a COVID test. I had COVID. And I was like, what are you doing to yourself? But I think looking back, I would have been like, take care of you. Like, take care of you, regardless of what's going on around you. And that's what I always try and tell people to do too. Like, even when I'm talking to a client or a friend or somebody, they're like, I have to do this. I'm like, no, you don't. Like, at the end of the day, nothing crazy is going to happen, right? Like, it's still going to be okay. So I think I would say that. I would also say lean on your people. My family saved my life through all of this. Like, they were always calling me. They were always checking up on me. My friends, were too, but I was very, very like, pushed you away. I'm not going to call you. I had no capacity. I was like, I have no capacity. And it's funny how people deal with things, right? Because I had some friends that were totally understanding. They were the best of friends. They understood. I had other friends that took it personally and were like, how dare you push me away? In the moment, I was like, how rude, how selfish. But now I get it. I see it. They're like, hey, I'm trying to talk to you. You want nothing to do with me. I understand that. But I think that now going back, I would be like, utilize your people, like lean on your people, like know that they want to be there for you. And the best thing you can do is use the people around you to your benefit rather than pushing them away.
What made you feel like friends versus family kind of caused you to push that group of relationships away? Because I went through the same thing in terms of family. I just felt way more safety, right? And I was putting so much judgment on myself that despite the fact that people were reaching out to me to check on me and be like, we're here for you and we care about you, I had this fear of like, I don't want to tell them this whole story, or I don't want to unpack this because I'm already putting so much judgment on myself that I assumed that they would be doing the same thing when that wasn't their intention at all.
That's a good question. I think it's just embarrassment, right? It's embarrassment when you have to tell anyone that anything didn't work, whether that's like, and this, for everyone that's listening, this isn't just for a relationship. This is for a job, a business, a state that you move to. Like, I hear so many people make these big decisions and they're like, I don't want to get out of it. I don't want to move in this city. I don't want to lose this job. I don't want to start this new venture because what are they going to think of me, right? And it's from a place of like embarrassment. And I'm like, I know I have to tell my family because obviously.
Yeah.
Whereas my friends, I'm like, I can kind of like wait to tell you what's going on. So I think a place of embarrassment. I also think too, shout out to my fam, they would not let me push them away. It was like, I'm calling you, you're talking about this, we're figuring this out. It was very much like, I'm not judging you, I just want to help you figure out what to do. And I didn't really give a lot of my friends that opportunity. So I think that was probably the biggest difference. And also just knowing that my family, again, bless them, I come from a great family who's like very much team us. I knew that they would be like, let's figure this out rather than like, why would you do this type thing.
Yeah. And I know you had a similar experience in that. Obviously, we were both living in a different city from where our families were. So what was that like for you in trying to figure out how to lean on them for support when they weren't physically there?
Oh, I mean, it was tough, but I have one sister. I was in Charlotte. I had one sister in Charlotte, and she was a freaking godsend. I mean, she would come over every day. She'd bring me coffee every day. We would talk every day. We wouldn't talk every day. Like, there were some days she'd call me and I'd be like, nope. And it, like, no judgment, no question. Just, okay, we'll try again tomorrow. Hang up next day. My parents would offer to come down all the time. I didn't want to be around anyone. I don't know about you, but I was just like, I want to be by myself because when I have other people around me, I start to take their opinions because I care about their opinions. Right. And I start to listen and I'm like, maybe you were wrong. So I was like, I want to be alone. And just since the therapy was done, the conversations were done, the arguments were done, it was like, let me be alone. So living away wasn't the worst thing, but my other sister who was home and my parents would like call me daily. And it was like a non-negotiable, like at least a hey, hello, to make sure that I was okay.
Yeah. So I don't think I've shared this with you personally, but I actually lived with my brother when I was going through this.
No, and I didn't know that.
Yes. So my brother lived with both my ex-fiance and me. And he was the one who called my parents to be like, something is wrong. And like, Chris is just not being herself because I couldn't really, I couldn't put my finger on like why I felt the way that I did. Because again, going back to like, I had two significant life events at once, quitting the job and then questioning the career path in general. I, at that point in time, I spent like, this was December of 2019. I spent like 3 months interviewing for corporate jobs as if I was going through the process of graduating college and navigating that whole situation all over again. I'd been in fitness for pretty much all through college and as a side hustle up until the point that I took it into a full-time career. And I know you did something very similar. Yep. And when I realized that that future of that position at that company wasn't going to be what I wanted it to be, I started questioning, do I want to be in this industry? Because I was planning my wedding and I was getting into arguments with my bosses about how much time I could take off. And I was like, this is only going to happen once. So I thought at the time, so can we possibly like make some concessions here? And we just didn't have the same vision for like my role. And that event was actually what helped me to start to see my worth inside of any relationship that I had. And I want to be super clear with that. And that's one of the reasons why we both agreed to have this conversation, because like you already alluded to, this doesn't just have to do with romantic relationships. So for me, it was almost like a domino effect. However, when I quit that job, what it made me start to question inside of my relationship was, did my partner and I at the time want the same things for our future? Did we have the same vision? Did we have the same values? And look, most of the time, a lot of people tend to have similar values to their family if you were raised together. And having my brother there, I don't know that I would have had as much of an ability to be like, wait a second, maybe this relationship also isn't for me. If it wasn't for the way my brother supported me when I was struggling to find a job, because that was what I started to realize was, okay, maybe the support system that I thought I had with my partner, he just doesn't know how to show up the way I want my partner to show up. And I didn't know how to communicate to him what I needed. With my brother, who is not even 2 years younger than me, who I've had a close relationship for my entire life, we understand each other very easily. And it took him calling my mom and being like, something's up with Krista, you need to come down here. And my mom came from Jersey down to Charlotte. And we just started having conversations that were originally really focused on, what do you want to do with your career? And that expanded into me questioning if I felt my partner even had the capacity to have that conversation with me. And he was also going through his own shit with his job that was very stressful at the time too. Oh, and we were super disconnected. And I'll just say, before I kind of turn this back over to you and thinking about the role that your family members play in this, certain moments that I'll never forget, my brother and I moved back to Jersey during COVID, but I never actually like fully packed up my condo. So I left everything there furniture wise and all that sort of thing, and just took a bunch of clothes. And then that turned into like the initial lockdown of COVID in March of 2020. So I just had no idea if and when I would go back. There was so much uncertainty. And then fast forward to June of 2020, that's when I finally went back to Charlotte and I was like, okay, this chapter is officially closed. Like, I'm packing everything up. My mom and I went down, for me, with a lot of resistance, because I was like, I don't know if I want to say goodbye to this city. And I really struggled with that too. And between my mom, my brother, and me, we packed everything up, and my ex had moved out at this point because I let him stay there during COVID until we kind of figured out like what we were going to do next.
You're so
and
nice.
My brother and I drove 10 hours back from Charlotte to New Jersey in a U-Haul. In the last like 20 minutes of that ride, we turned on Maroon 5 and just blasted She Will Be Loved, and we sang it together. And he's like, I could cry telling this story. And he said to me, he's like, I promise that it's going to be okay. And I know you don't feel like that right now, and you're going to keep hearing that over and over again, but it will be okay. And that kind of leads into my next question for you. When people said that to you, did you believe it, or did it kind of irritate you? Because I went through a phase where it really bothered me.
My healing journey was like kind of in two parts, because there was a part of it where I knew it was happening. My family knew it was happening. It was like kind of private. It was us. I was healing. He was healing, I guess. And we were just kind of healing, right? And like my family knew, and it was a little more private, and that was easier. Then it got to the point where people started finding out, which again is fine. Like if they have to find out. And again, I don't want to think I'm like some celebrity, but when you're teaching classes in the same city, when you build a business, when you're online, when you know a ton of people in your city, like it does start to become the gossip, right? So
Charlotte's not that big. Let's be clear, because this was part of the reason why I felt like I had to get the F out of there.
I
was in a place of like, when you're in the fitness industry and there's only so many gyms in this very concentrated area, you can't go to the grocery store without running into someone you know. And for me, I was like, I need a change of scenery, because I feel like I can't heal here, because I feel this like sense of like being on display.
Oh, it got bad because I never went on my page and was like, hey, here's what happened, or like, hey, it's over. Like, things are just kind of deleted. I started to talk a little bit about healing like 6 months later, literally. Yeah. But when people started finding out, I wasn't asked if I was okay. It was people trying to trick me into telling them that it had happened. Like, I will never forget the day I walked into teach class and someone was like, hey, I just saw XYZ, his name. Like, are you guys getting excited? He didn't actually see him. He was just saying that to me to see what my response would be. Oh yeah, so gosh. It started becoming that. And then it started becoming like these DMs of like, hey, I want to reach out to XYZ about this. What do you think? From like people that weren't my friends, just people that we both knew. Mm-hmm. And I, after time, I realized I'm like, they're doing this to get answers out of me, not because they genuinely A, care, or B, have questions for me. So there was a lot of that went on that I feel like doesn't normally happen. Like, I don't think that like, again, I'm not the biggest, like, that's not the biggest drama that's happening in Charlotte. So why that was like such a big thing, I think what it was that I never answered it head on, and I never went and was like, it's over. Like, it was a big question mark for everybody because I just didn't feel the need to have to like go and talk about that. But I will say now I wish I did, and I really, really regret it, because the DMs I do get, or like even the friends I talk to that like want to leave a relationship, want to leave a job, want to whatever, I think I could have really made a mark and helped with like some of the things I started to realize and learn during that time. And I really wish that I'm going to start sharing now, but I wish I did in the moment when it was more real time for me. Just to show that journey of like, it does suck. Like, it's not fun. Like, when you leave something, you're not like, oh, I left it. Like, that is one of the hardest things you will go through. It's going to suck. It's not going to feel good. Even if you're the one leaving, no matter what it is, right? Like, the city, whatever, it's going to suck. You're probably going to want some therapy. You're going to it's going to suck. So I think that was the biggest thing too, was A, people weren't really asking me if I was okay. And B, I wasn't really telling them I was either. Right. Like, I wasn't just shouting it on the rooftop. So long-winded answer there, but I would say like people didn't really answer that I was okay, but I didn't really give them a reason to.
No, I think it's important because everyone has their own experience. And that is really the takeaway from this, that I couldn't even give someone advice on like, well, how do you recommend asking someone this question? Like, because it's different for every single person. Like saying, are you okay? Like, if someone doesn't receive that or they don't respond to you, like, I wish I also could go back to a lot of those people who reached out to me in that time. And maybe this is my way of doing it now, if they happen to listen to this podcast episode, and say, I thank you for contacting me to be like, are you okay? And saying it in a way that was genuine, but know that me not responding was not a reflection of you reaching out to me with good intentions. I just wasn't in the space to have that conversation.
I kind of want to add on to that too, because I think that, you know, there obviously people reached out to me. I'm not saying no one asked if I was okay, but there was a lot of like back and forth. And I think what I want to add here is something very, very important, that you should absolutely reach out to your friends. You should be nosy in your friends' lives. Like, you should ask them what's going on. You should want to help them if you're thinking of doing that to a stranger. Because I see this all over the internet too, where people like accidentally send messages to people talking about them, and like they might send it to their friend. Yeah. And I'm like, being nosy is a good thing. Like, there's a lot of shit I want to know too, right? So if it's to a stranger, that's okay too. Just make sure it comes from a place of being genuine rather than a place of just out of curiosity, right? If there's no help behind it, is it really necessary? No. But I do want to recognize that for sure. Because there were also those people, like, honestly, I made friends with a kind of random people that like would reach out and be like, hey, let's go for a walk. And they know what was going on, and they didn't have to ask me. They didn't have to know the nitty gritty details. There was a girl actually from the gym that I would go on quite a few walks with. I loved her. She became a client. She knows who she is. And she never once was like, are you okay? She never once wanted the details. She simply just was like, let's go for a walk. Cause she knew that that's what I needed. And she didn't care about like knowing the drama. She just wanted to know I was okay. And I think that that's huge.
It is. And when I think about the close friends that I've maintained through this experience, because you do lose friends when you go through something like this, because like we said, you're not only leaving a relationship, you're leaving a city, you're leaving a life that you thought was going to be, and now it's simply just not, right? And when I think about the people who are still in my life now, why they are still in my life was because it was just this assumed, like, we don't necessarily have to talk about this, but I am going to help you pull yourself out of your own head by trying to get you to do things. because that's where I got stuck. I was just constantly in my own head all day long, to the point where even going to therapy, I had a lot of trouble verbalizing how I felt, because I was in this phase of a ton of rumination and just like playing all these different scenarios out in my mind, thinking that that would help me figure out how to pick the best one. And I personally like let my own fitness routine and my relationship to food really turn poor throughout that time, because I just felt like I had no structure because I had no answers to anything. And I love having answers to everything. That's just my personality. And that was really tough.
We love answers. We love answers. No, I feel that too. It is really hard to know that like you're literally choosing to step into the unknown. Like you're not taking the easy route. And it's funny because now, like, if a friend goes through something, I'm so passionate about, like, you know what you need to do, you know what you need to do. And sometimes I need to catch myself and be like, hey, it wasn't that easy for you either. Like, yeah. It wasn't that easy to be like, okay, I'm going to take like the harder route right now. Like, it was not that spelled out for you either. So give some grace.
Yeah. And to your point around your friendships of those people who just kind of like knew what you needed, it was just, they didn't have to say anything. How has that impacted the friendships that you now have today in terms of maybe, I know you obviously moved cities. Do you think about making connections in a different way? Like, how has that kind of unfolded for you, even if it was subconscious?
You know what's so crazy? Well, first off, I will say, like, the friends I do have and that have stuck by me through this, obviously it wasn't the easiest to deal with. I don't think anyone would be, but
no.
With me trying to push them away, with me like being quiet on things, shout out to them, because they're the saviors. My family and my friends, like, holy shit. They really stuck with it. And our relationships are even stronger now because I think they see a different side of me. Like, they're like, whoa, you're like happy. Like, you were happy before. I've always been like, they used to call me P Miami. Like, I've always been the fun party girl.
Oh my gosh,
like,
I forgot when that was your nickname. What happened to that?
It died. Thank God it died. But I was always kind of that girl. And then I kind of calmed down when I was in this relationship. And I think everyone thought, including myself, like, oh, she's just settled down. But it's like, no, she was miserable inside. And now she's super happy again. So I think it's good for them to see me happy, and our relationships have actually grown stronger. And then when it comes to new connections, it really opened my eyes to, like, you have no idea what the hell is going on. Like, I look back at my content I was posting on my fitness page when I was going through that, and I looked like the happiest girl on the fucking planet that was, like, living her dream life, right? So it's like, when I meet new people now, I think I show up with a lot more grace than I used to, because I used to always expect everyone to, like, give the same love and care as me. And now I'm like, some people just genuinely can't give that, right? Like, some people don't have a cup that they can just pour into others. And it's important to recognize that. And that doesn't make them a bad human. It just probably means they need something from your cup instead. So it's really opened my eyes. I don't know about you, but really opened my eyes to just relationships and giving more grace, and also recognizing, like, there's a lot of things you don't know about people or someone. And there's a lot you probably won't ever know. And that's okay. But the prejudging has simmered.
Yeah, I would say that has shown up a ton in how I think about dating now too, because there's a phrase that I see on Instagram all the time that actually kind of bothers me and I don't like prescribing to. It's the whole phrase of like, if he wanted to, he would. And I can only agree with like 25% of it if you wanted to put a number on it. And the reason why is because of what you just said. Some people just don't have the capacity. And they may think that they have this intention of wanting to pursue some sort of relationship with you. And I guess I should define what I mean by relationship. Maybe I should just say connection, right? Because if I think the understanding of the word relationship for most people is like a serious, exclusive type of relationship. And that's not even what I mean. I just mean like the initial stages of dating someone. And some people, you don't know what they're going through. When you meet somebody on your first like 2 to 4 dates, everyone's on their best behavior. So it's recognizing that it takes time to get to know someone as well. And I even apply that to my relationships with potential clients, with current clients. The clients that I work with, who I've been with for 2+ years, the growth that I get to see in the way their mindset shifts is fucking awesome. Because we've spent enough time together to develop that. But if I had that expectation that within the first month of us coaching together, within the first month of me getting to know somebody, that this is exactly who they are, it's not.
I think there's two pieces I want to touch on that. And number one, I'm going to say, it's not if he wanted to, he would, it's if he knows how, right? And also recognizing today's day and age, we expect to date someone and it's like, you're going to fall in love and you're going to text every single day and you're going to call each other and then you're going to go on this date. And then on the second date, he's going to pick you up with flowers. And then on the third date, he's going to tell you how beautiful you are and take a selfie of you. And like no. And just because he's not doing those things doesn't mean he doesn't care. It just probably means you're not in that space where he owes you anything yet. Like this day and age, I see so many people being like, well, he didn't call me back. And I'm like, no offense, but he didn't really have to, right? And it's like, when you're in the beginning phases, it's normal and it's healthy to still date someone. And it's normal to still like date other people. But on the flip side of that, which I think this is so important, this is one of the biggest things I learned, is if you are at the point in the relationship now where you're like 6 months to a year in, you know each other, you're dating, you know each other, and your needs are not being met, your needs are not too much, you're just asking the wrong person, right? Mm-hmm. Like it is not that you are asking for the world. He's probably going to make you feel that way because he doesn't understand how you're communicating it and he can't give you it, but you're not asking the too much. I used to always be told in relationships, like, I don't know how to love you. This is too much. I don't know like what I can do. I don't get how you want me to love you. And I'm literally just asking for like, I'm a big words of affirmation girl. So I'm literally just asking for like, hey, give me a compliment every once in a while and maybe some flowers, right? But in their brains, that's not the way they love. And that's not the love they can show me. So they're like, I don't understand you. So that's the point I want to touch on too, is like, it's not that if he wanted to, it's that if he's able to. And if you're not the one for him, he's probably not going to be able to.
And even to expand on that, that also comes down to being willing to have super clear communication and what too many people deem the quote unquote hard conversations. I have this conversation with my friends all the time, especially as it relates to pace in dating, because to everything you just said, within the first month or two, the expectation of everything just happening so fast, whether it's just because of instant gratification, social media, online dating, I'm not going to pin it on one thing because I think it's just like our culture collectively, like in the world we live in today, people's expectations of how quickly things should progress create this false sense of intimacy, to where if you think about when people were meeting each other and didn't have the capacity to DM you, Snapchat you, text you, call you, FaceTime you, there wasn't this like, oh my God, he didn't text me within 48 hours, so therefore he doesn't like me type of sentiment. It was just like, okay, like hopefully he asks me to go out again next week. And that is the attitude that I have when it comes to dating. And now seeing somebody who keeps that pace in dating, I have so many friends that I'll update, and you and I have had this conversation where my friends will be like, oh, like, he didn't text you yet, or like, you're not texting that much. I'm like, no. And it's okay that we're not. I've consistently seen this person every single week for the last 3 weeks. Like that feels good to me. That feels comfortable to me. That pace feels great to me. And then I see friends who are like, I went on 7 dates with this guy and now all of a sudden he's pulling back. And it's like, okay, well, what was your expectation for the pace? And when it was 7 dates and you started to feel like it was going to get serious, because in your mind, you're saying these 7 dates super quickly created this sense of like, oh, this is going to be something that will be long-term for me. What is stopping you from simply expressing that to the person? That's the part that a lot of people lean away from.
Yeah. And I think that too, like it takes, because I want to say this too, because a lot of people have messaged me and they're like, how do you have this like fuck yes or no energy? And like, how do you make these decisions and how do you feel? And I'm like, honestly, by having gone through that, but I think that it also takes therapy, but it also takes looking in the mirror and being like, cool, these are the things I want and need. I can't expect someone else to magically know that. You didn't meet, like, generations ago, they didn't meet and be like, oh my gosh, you know everything I need. It's a conversation. It has to be said. You have to ask for what you need. I'm also a big believer though, and like you said, pace. There is a time. Like, I don't care who you are. If you're a guy, if you're a girl, if you're anybody, and you go to someone on the second date and you're like, I need flowers, I need you to commit to me, they're going to be like, oh, right? Like, it goes on both sides. So I think that that's where I get caught up when I hear people being like, I deserve more, or if he wanted to, he would. I'm like, well, where are you? Because if you're like this far in and you told him you needed these things and he says he can meet the expectations, I'm like, yeah, you do deserve that. But if there's been no conversation and there's been no commitment on either end, like, do you really?
Yeah. People aren't mind readers. And I learned that from realizing why other relationships didn't work out. And that's where I say that I also take the responsibility. For as much as I was the one who chose to walk away because I felt certain needs weren't being met, I also was only like 25 and I didn't know how to express my desires that I actually wanted. And I was starting to figure that out because I saw in my professional life that I did have this confidence to be like, I've put in this amount of effort into this job position. Therefore, this is where I see this progressing. And you could insert the relationship parallel to that. It's like, I am showing up for you in this specific way. So this is where I would like to see this progress. And I find a lot of my friends, when they're doing the whole, hey, like they screenshot the text and they're trying to have this conversation with this other person in the relationship. And this is guys too. Like I have guy friends ask me this advice, but so many times I want to say to them, why are you doing this via text message? Like that is a big part of where the communication is being mismatched. How do you feel about that inside of your relationship now today?
Oh, well, first off, I think that I wouldn't have been able to be in this relationship had I not gone through anything. And I took a lot of, again, this is not shown online. So like, I still get a lot of anonymous messages of like, how'd you move on so fast? And I'm like, I didn't, I just wasn't like showing myself in a ball crying on the internet. So I think that I learned a lot, but I think that also in the relationship I'm in now, I get what I want without asking because it was a conversation ahead of time of like, what is your love language? How do you like to feel loved? How do you like to communicate? Like what kind of conversations maybe can we have through text? How are you through text, right? Like you have those little conversations. And I think it's so, so important to recognize how someone responds, but also know that like your way isn't the only way. So like, for example, if you have two partners and one loves to text and one doesn't, that doesn't mean there's something wrong, right? Like both needs matter. So if you're like, hey, he doesn't text me, maybe he's not a texter. That's okay, right? You find a different way to communicate that you both like. So I think now in the relationship I'm in today, it's kind of recognizing like, we both have different needs. As long as we're able to meet those needs and come together and also compromise on those needs, that's perfect, right? It's not going to be 100% my way. It's not going to be 100% mm-hmm. his. Maybe tomorrow it's 80-20. Maybe the next day it's 70-30, right? But at least we're always coming together to become whole. I think that's the most important part.
Yeah. And I love what you said about just establishing those conversations from the beginning, because I think a lot of people shy away from those. So in your case, did you find that that's just kind of happened naturally because of the work you did on yourself, because you took the time to get to know yourself? Because for me, that's what I've started to find. Like in the last 4 months, I have really, and I've been for as open as I was about moving on from that like last relationship and canceling my wedding, I am so like private about all of this now today. But
it's
the
funny,
part
I'm the opposite.
Yeah, but the part I will talk about is when I'm seeing that, okay, things are moving in the direction that I would like for it to, what I can sit here and say today that I couldn't have even said like back in January, and it's only March, but 4 years removed, taking the time to think about what did I learn from that relationship and how much I changed as a person in that time, all of the things I've done for myself in that time, things I never even envisioned I would do in my life as a result of choosing to leave that relationship. And I mean that like in the best way possible. Like this was the life I envisioned for myself. And I'm so glad that that relationship didn't work out because this wasn't the life he envisioned for himself either. And that's okay. And it's totally fine. And accepting that I couldn't have done that 3 years ago, but I'm now at a point where going on 4 years later, like I think about this often because I got to the point of the wedding date was set and everything. So whenever that rolls around, I'm like, wow, I would have been married for 4 years at this point. What would my life have looked like? And it's I can truly sit here and say, I'm so grateful that that did not happen because this right now is in fact exactly what I did want for myself. I was just still trying to figure that out, and that's right. But at the same time, when I think about how I now interact in new relationships and even just in the process of dating, I am more self-aware of me. And that's why I can actually show up as my whole self and also feel way more detached. Whereas a lot of the things that people get caught up in is like, they want this certain outcome to happen. And it like freaks them out. Like they're looking at their phone. Like, why hasn't this person contacted me yet? Whereas I'm just like, nothing that is meant for me is going to pass me by. And I think it's easier to say that, like you said, having walked away and made such a massive decision. And I don't mean to say that you have to experience something like we did to be able to sit here and say these things. Right. But what I think everyone should really consider exploring is their relationship with their self, because that is the one thing I've been like 190% committed to since the start of 2024. And I'm now seeing that it's attracting the partner that I've been looking for this entire time. And I just didn't know it, which is cool.
I love that. I love that. Yeah, I would say, and I think it's important to note too, like for everyone listening, like we both went through similar experiences in this part where it's not like someone cheated or there was this big event where you're like, I have to leave, like nothing illegal happened, right? Like it's not a big event. I think that was one of the biggest questions I was got too, like what happened? And you're sitting there and you're like, I don't know. And I think I'm biased, but I think this is even a harder thing to go through is when
they just
aren't capable of loving you. And this is nothing against them. I'm not here to bash him. Like nothing whatsoever. It's just when they can't genuinely love you for who you are, it makes you go insane. And you're like, what is going on? What is wrong with me? And then you leave that your relationship and you're like, I'm wrong. And you finally come out on the other side and you're like, no one's technically wrong. We're just not right, right? Like if I have to continuously tell you what days of the week to buy me flowers, or if I have to be like, hey, I want to hear X, Y, Z, like we're probably not communicating or connecting the way we want to be. And that's not fun for either of us. Like, I'm sure that wasn't fun for him either, you know, not placing all the blame on his side. So I think that once I kind of understood that and, you know, went to therapy and did all the hard shit and came out of it, I was like, okay, nothing's wrong with me. I'm just not letting myself find the thing that's right. Right. And so I really took some time before dating. And then once I started dating said man now, I was just very brutally honest. Like I was like, of course not the first date, but like eventually in, I was like, here's the shit I've been through. Here's the type of person I am. Like, you don't need to say fuck yes right now, but like, just so you know, here's what's on the table. Because I think the worst thing you can do is kind of expect them to know, right? Because I would find myself like, if I didn't do that, would certain situations come up? And I'd be like, you know what I've been through, when he doesn't. So I think number one is just being super honest. And then number two, he's going to love you the right way if he actually does. Like, it's not going to take, I've never once had to tell him when to buy me flowers. I go every single week with flowers. I've never once had to tell him I love notes. I get a sticky note every morning. Like, I think that there's a lot of hard shit you're going to go through together, but the one thing that should be easy is the way you love each other. Like, that should be hands down the number one thing. And if you're someone right now that's struggling, you're like, what if, is it a fuck yes, if he has to fuck no? The thing I will say is if you are wondering more about what's on the other side than what you have right now, it is time to go.
Yeah. And a lot of it is, this is how I've talked about it recently in my dating experience, because we both have had similar experiences of being like, should I walk away from this thing, and struggling with the opinion, or like, what was the right decision and whose opinion should you listen to? How do you get clear on what your own voice is trying to tell you is this like sunk cost theory, right? And so many people hang on to that of, well, I've invested so much time in this, so I shouldn't walk away from it. Or it's go like, I would describe it in the moment when I was going through it. I was like, I can't make this decision because it's just going to drop a bomb on too many areas of my life. And like you said earlier, walking into that unknown, and that's super uncomfortable. And I don't like that. But what would have been more uncomfortable would have been to stay and realize 2 years later, do we need to get divorced?
Right. And I also think to go off of that too, like with anything, you could stay and be comfy. And I do believe that there's some things like, well, no, I don't really believe that. So I'm not even going to go there. But I would say like, if you're thinking of, I will say this, my partner now, I think this will make a lot of sense. My partner now and I, if we fight, yes, there's times where we find each other annoying. There's times where I'm like, get away from me. We need space, right? There's times where I'm like, cool, let's go spend a day working at a cafe and we'll see each other tomorrow and it'll be great to see each other again. I have never once thought of what life was like without him. So I am now a big believer. Like when people are like, oh, it's normal to get bored. It's normal to get like, you know, like feel like it's easy. It's normal to feel like a plateau in a relationship. Sure, there are going to be some days where you're like, okay, we're kind of just coasting. But there should never be a day where you think about being without them and you're okay. And I full-heartedly believe that now that I have it, because in the moment I was always like, okay, boring's fine. Like boring's okay. Like everyone tells me I'm boring. I was always the type of girl. I still am. You see me in everything I do. I'm like, I want more. 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 And so then I kept telling myself, I'm like, that has to be normal then in my relationship. Like I should be wanting more if I want more in every other areas. No, 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 no. When you're
so interesting to think about it like that. I've never thought about it that way. I love that.
When you create a life with someone, there doesn't always need to be more. It just needs to be whatever's between you two. And I think that, again, it's normal to have days where you're like, there's not really anything fun going on. There's days where it feels like kind of just normal. But I don't think there's days where you should be sitting there contemplating if your partner is the right one for you. And if you are, then it's maybe something to think about. And if that thought comes up more often than not, you know what to do.
I heard this recently on a podcast. The hosts were recapping a trip that they went on, and it's a male and female co-host, and they're not together. Like they're two friends and they have different perspectives. And the female co-host had said she went on this trip with her husband and it made her appreciate their relationship so much more because they are both really busy. He has some kind of finance job and she owns a business, has a podcast, all these things. And she said what she appreciated about the experience of them being on this trip, where it was very much like a do nothing kind of trip. She was like, you know that you're with the right person when you're physically in the same space at the same time and you're not even doing anything together. Like they were sitting on the beach listening to podcasts with their headphones in. And she just had this sense of like happiness that she was there in this place with this person side by side.
I think that's huge. And like, if you're always, and I think that's what's wrong with things with The Bachelor, right? And things with like TV shows where they go on all these romanticized dates. Cause it's like 99% of the time, it's not going to be like that. Like you're not going to be sitting there on vacation in Bora Bora, getting martinis, like listening to the ocean. You're going to be calling each other being like, hey, I had a shit day. I need you to be the 80% today. Like, and that's what's going to be the most important part. And I will say too, something that makes me so sad is like a lot of people these days are settling. They are staying. I also got a ton of messages too of like, I wish I left sooner, or like talking to friends that did leave being like, I don't know why I waited. Right. And mm-hmm. Not asking everyone to up and leave their relationships right now, but I'm just saying like life is tough, right? It's going to be tough no matter who you're with, but that's why it really, really matters who you choose, because your partner is the one person you choose. The one person you choose, right? Like that is the person you choose. That's the one choice you make when it comes to a person in your life.
Yeah. And it is a choice every day, right? Because like you said, life is hard, and that doesn't mean that it's supposed to be all rainbows and sunshines. It won't be, but it's you both recognizing that you can choose to show up together. Like you said, when one person's not having a good day, navigating that 80%. And I'm curious for you, I don't know like a ton about what your current partner does for his career, but what is it like now? Because you have been with somebody who is an entrepreneur and now your business is in a different place. It's grown significantly. Like there's always going to be transitions with running your own business, right? What does that feel like for you to navigate inside of this relationship versus past relationships?
Great question. I think I won't even relate it to the specific relationship I'm in, because he's my biggest cheerleader. He's the best. He's really great with like giving me space, knowing that like I don't have your typical 9 to 5. I'm on my phone 90% of the time. It's annoying. Like that was also something I was very upfront with in the beginning, right? Just that communication in the beginning stages of like, here's me, here's my life. Like this is what it is. But I will say, making sure you have a partner that supports you through and through and genuinely believes in what you do. Because I've been on that other side where the belief maybe wasn't all the way there. And it's very, very hard to build something and put that much trust in yourself when your person doesn't have it in you, right? So just really making sure that, and again, you get to choose them. So like, choose a fucking good one. Like, make sure they support you. Make sure they know the badass you are. You deserve everything you want from the right person. You just have to find them. And that can feel impossible, but I promise they're out there. But they're not going to come knocking on your door if you continue to stay with the wrong one.
No, you have to put yourself in spaces and places where that's going to be an opportunity. And there were points in my life when I was first getting back into dating that it would annoy me to hear this advice of like, well, you have to put yourself out there. And a lot of it was because I was thinking about it only in the context of dating apps versus just going and doing the things that you enjoy doing. So I do want to give that advice to people. If you're like, because I know part of the fear that some people express to me when they message me about it is like, well, where the heck do I begin when I do actually feel ready to start over? Live the life you want to live. Because even for me, my friendships and even our friendship evolved through business because I said to you, I'm like, hey, what are you doing? Because I see things that you're doing. And that's what I envision for myself, but I don't know how to get there. I've had so many points of feeling like, am I doing this all by myself? And then you have these small moments of reminders like that, where you're like, you don't have to do this by yourself. Like, the support system is there for you in so many different ways and forms. And I love that because I think it's a very common story for people who, especially with people with online businesses, who feel very lonely. And I can't tell you the last time I felt like that. And I literally work alone in my apartment all day. And I put myself in different spaces so that I, in different communities, in doing things that I actually like to do and getting into a consistent routine with going to the gym myself, not just for the sake of working out, but also for the sake of making friends.
Yeah. And I would say too, like, even if you need someone to talk to, obviously reach out to us, reach out to your friends, but also something huge that I've learned. And a lot of the times when a friend comes to me with a problem or a big decision or something like this, rather than giving my opinion, I'll be like, do you need me to listen or do you want my opinion? And that's huge. And I think that if you're out there struggling and you're like, I don't have anyone to talk to, because a lot of times you don't want to hear others' opinions. You just want to get it out. So I think it's important to note, like, try that. Be like, hey, I don't want your opinion right now. I just need you to listen. Because then you have that community to vent to. But obviously if you don't, I mean, we both were blessed, I feel like, with family and friends that were like taking over the world with us. But you and I are always here to talk to.
Yeah, seriously, it's so true. And it's such a good reminder to encourage people to preface, because again, it goes back to you communicating what you really want and what you're looking for and what you need. And you can totally change the fate, like the trajectory of a conversation by prefacing it with saying, hey, I just want to vent. And I've learned this for sure the hard way, because when I think back to times where I even felt like agitated by other people giving me advice, it was because I did not communicate that wasn't necessarily what I was looking for. And I know I'll shout out my mom because I know she listens to my podcast every week and she'll probably laugh when she hears this part. That is something that her and I have worked on a lot together over the course of the last 4 years, because as your mom, she wants to give you advice. And sometimes I wasn't always in a place to hear it, and that's okay. But I've learned and matured in the sense that, like, I can verbalize that to her too, instead of just getting mad.
Yeah. So funny. I know my family would always try and like, and they would try and help me, because that's what they do. Right. And they want to see the best for you. So they always like come in and I'd be like, I don't want to listen to that right now, but it's what I needed to listen to, you know? So sometimes it's like asking for what you need, but sometimes they'll give you what you need without you even recognizing it. So that's huge.
And I'll also add that it takes time to learn how to self-source a lot of these answers. Like, if I think about the maturity I've had in my healing journey, and it's really cool. I didn't plan this, and I think there are no accidents, but the last 3 podcast episodes, including this one, has all related back to some aspect of healing, but through a different lens. Like, the first one was about relationship to overtraining and getting too obsessive with tracking your macros. The second one was more about like feeling into your body. And now this one is in the relational aspect. And when I think about the different types of support I've gotten through different types of therapy, through leaning into routines, through changing my environment, like, we could probably go on for hours about all the different tools we've utilized to help ourselves figure out how we feel our best and what's going to help us get on this path of this life that we envision for ourselves. when I think about where I am today in particular and why I feel such a sense of clarity around my life that I didn't even feel a year ago, even though things in my business were growing. And I had plenty of like green flags of like, hey, this is what you envisioned. And now it really is coming to life. This is cool. In the first half of this year so far, when I like fast forward to the end of 2024 and think about what I've learned, it's making more time to just sit with myself and be quiet and be still and just like listen to what comes up without judging it, because that's where I've gotten way more answers. And then I don't put so much energy into things. Like for the girls listening to this who are thinking like, okay, if I know my person's out there and you're struggling to like, when am I going to find them? I promise when you spend more time with you, the person will start to reveal themselves because you are showing up as the person that you want to be inside of that relationship. And the person you want to be inside of the relationship is not the one that's like desperately searching for it. That's not the energy.
No. It's funny you say that too, because I was actually thinking, and the most I think I've grown is I've always been that type of person where I've been like a planner, like a heavy planner. Yep, and that was one of the biggest problems with me leaving this past relationship was I was like, well, what's going to happen? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? What am I going to be? Where's my business going to go? What am I going to do? Like, when will I meet, you know, with all of these things you're wondering. And I've learned to become so much of an in the moment girly. I always say like, be where your feet are. Cause I'm like, if you told me 2 years ago that I would be living in Boston right now, back home near my family, like dating this guy that I love, working my dream career, like I would be like, you are insane, right? And so I think that the thing I would tell people is like, even though you have a hard decision to make, it doesn't mean you need all of the answers. Yeah. You just need the one at hand. Meaning like, if you're deciding to leave the city, you don't need to know where you're gonna go to. You don't need to know what job you're gonna have, what friend you're gonna live with, where you're gonna get your coffee. You just need to know that you're either leaving or you're staying, and the rest will plan itself out. And that's easier said than done. But I think it's so important to note that it's like, just because you make one decision doesn't mean you're going to have all of the answers, but you're going to have the one at hand. And that's what's important.
Yeah. I can't underscore that enough. Like, that's such a mic drop, because when I think back to when I had those feelings of like so much anxiety and so much just that internal, like, why am I so uncomfortable right now? It was because I was leaving myself in this like purgatory of not making the decision. Whereas if I just went ahead and made the decision and then like fully committed to being like, okay, I don't know what my life is going to look like, but I do know that I'm ready to like physically move. Like I said, I legitimately, like, I had physical evidence of like, I left, let's say 82% of my life in Charlotte for like 3 extra months before I was like, okay, I am officially going to end this relationship. And not to play Monday morning quarterback, but like, I do wonder now with what I know about myself and have been able to grow and really like analyze this situation years later, I wonder like what type of relief could I have given myself if I just like went with what my gut was saying to me, because it was screaming at me. But the desire to want everything to be planned out, and this idea that like I was changing this course that I set for myself 2 years before that, and then 2 years before that, what I've now come to realize is I had no fears in doing that professionally. So I had the evidence to show myself that I would be okay in my personal life too. It just took me time and that experience to believe it.
I also think recognizing too that like truly nothing in this world is permanent. Nothing. Yeah. Like, you could leave a city, and I always said like, I'm going to be in Boston for 3 months. And now here I am a year later. I'm like, who knows? Maybe I will go back to Charlotte one day. Like, that's not written off, right? Like, your job doesn't have to be permanent. If you make a decision and it's not the right one, that's okay too. So like, if you're thinking about leaving something more often than not, and you leave it and you're like, why did I leave? Cool. That's okay. Like, you can make a decision to go back. It's not like you can't ever go back. And I think that that's something that we all get caught up in these days too, is like, well, they think of me if I make, and it's like, who cares? No one cares more about themselves than themselves, right? Like,
literally,
it's like, they're too busy worrying about what they're about to do. So like, who cares? But make the decision and like, realize life is too fucking short. And if you're going to worry, if you're going to wonder what it would have been like to make that decision, you might as well make it and then figure it out. Because if you're always thinking about it, there's probably a good chance you just need to do it.
Yeah. that last point, especially if it's on your mind, the worst feeling is wondering what if you don't actually go for it, even just to experience it. You won't be able to make the decision if you don't like something, if you don't experience it either. That's why I can sit here now and say that I am genuinely grateful for that relationship that I had and other relationships I've had in between, because they all taught me something and they've all now gotten me to the place where I am right now, where I'm like, I feel that I'm like fully the person that I want to be. And that's come from, rather than looking at all the external, like really sitting with the internal. And that's awesome.
Yeah. And I also think it's important. I know I keep going back to this, but I'm like, I do just want to make sure people know, like, it's not like you make this decision and you're like, I am healed. Like you don't just yeah. make the decision and put it in stone and you're like, woohoo, what's next? Like, no, there's a lot of stuff behind it. But I had a friend who not too long ago, like a month ago, was like, hey, obviously I won't say names, but was like, I'm debating leaving this relationship. And I'm like, cool, let's like write it out. Like, what makes you want to stay? What makes you want to go? And a lot of the things that she wanted to stay for was selfish to her well-being rather than who the person actually was. Like, it was like, we live together. We're in the same city. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of gifts. This person makes me, right? Like, it was a lot of things where I'm like, those are all things that are serving you, not necessarily the relationship. And she was like, what if I miss this person when I leave? And I'm like, okay, then you do, but you're not going to know until you go. And what's meant for you will always be yours. So like, if you do decide to leave, it's going to come back to you anyways, right? Like, it's not like you leave your soulmate and they go find someone else and you're like, fuck, that was my soulmate. Like, you'll find your way back if it was meant for you.
Yeah.
Correct. Like, so I think it's just also recognizing that too, of like, if you're someone who's debating on staying, no matter what it is, a relationship, a place, a thing, wherever, look at your pros and cons list. And is that pro list selfish to you, or is it to the actual relationship?
And I'm just going to say, we love a list. Like, if you really
we love a list,
we love a list. If you are really questioning, if you've been dating for a little while and you're like in that mode of, cause I get this message a lot from people and from friends too, of like, why am I not meeting a person who has this, this, and this? Ask yourself if you're really clear on what that list is. And you can be like super surface level with the list, but I would encourage you to also be like very specific on the values that you're looking for, because I recently made a list and I like wrote it a few months ago and I just was like, I felt weird doing it in the moment, but it was encouraged to me by a mentor that I work with. And it's I am seeing how the list can manifest is the way that I'll explain it right now.
I love that. I love that. I will also say with the list too, like, you just realize so much, especially as you start dating. You can teach someone, like, say your favorite hobby is pickleball, right? You can teach someone how to play pickleball. Right. You can teach them, you can get them to like, I don't want your list to be that type of bullshit where it's like, yeah, plays pickleball, journals before bed, like does his under eye patches, like has a hot six pack. Like we can work with any of that, right? Like you can go play pickleball together and maybe he hates it. Cool, who cares? What I want you to have on your list is how you need someone to love you, how you want them to value their life and how they would value your future kids, how you want them to support you, right? Because if you can have those bones of that structure, you guys can then start to find hobbies that you love together, mm-hmm. or you can start going to the gym together, or you can start cooking together. Like, I'm a terrible fucking cook. Do you think that all of these men have on their list, like, terrible cook? Probably not. Probably the opposite. Right? But like, I'm learning. I'm figuring it out. That's something I can learn. I can't learn how to love someone correctly. I just have to know and do, but I can't learn how to cook. So I see all these bullshit lists online. I'm like, girl, none of that's going to matter in 20 years. Like,
yeah. It's and not. I sent this list to my friend and she was like, wow, this makes so much more sense, because she had more of the surface level things on the list in her brain. And I'll give an example of one that was on mine. It was me acknowledging that I am a more serious person. So something that I'm looking for in a partner is the person who's a little more spontaneous, because I know they'll pull me out of my shell in a way that makes me feel good too. And it's also probably something that they like to do. And my friend read that and she was like, oh, she was like, I've been thinking about this all wrong. And then thinking about their personality, it's like, so much around their energy, like a person who's charismatic and just has that vibe when they come into a room. Like those are the types of things that you can't create that in somebody. That's just like innately who they are. And a lot of that for me, why I put that down is because like, I know that that's what I mesh with. And because I've had experiences of, although those relationships didn't work out, those were certain character traits that I really liked about that person. And it doesn't mean that someone else can't possess those too.
I agree. And I will also say too, I think the saying of like dating out here now hard is bullshit. Dating out here is not hard. It's not hard. And there's like, it's so hard to find a good person. It's really not. There's a million good people out there. You're just not willing to put the work in that you now have to. Like, yes, it used to be easier to just go to a coffee shop or go to church or go to a bar and walk in and be like, oh my God, like, yeah, now you have to put some work into it. But it's there if you're willing to. You're just using that as your excuse not to, right? Like,
right.
I didn't end this relationship, take all my time to heal, and then all of a sudden the first person I talked to was now the man I'm dating. Like it did not go that way. There was like 30 dates in between.
Yeah,
there was like 30 dates in between where I was like, yikes. And then he showed up out of blue and I was like, wow, great. Yeah. But it doesn't just happen where you're like, and again, going back to the healing process, because everyone's like, oh, you found someone so quick. I'm like, no, baby girl, I didn't. But I think you're selling yourself short if you try and convince yourself that dating right now is hard or that you can't find somebody or there's not good people out there, because there's a ton of good people out there. You're just not looking in the right place.
And like, your mind is so powerful. So if you say that, like I have challenged some of my friends too, when I hear them say that, I'm like, I don't even want to hear you say that, because now you're putting that energy out there and convincing yourself that that is true. Whereas if you just look right.
And stop meeting men, women, whatever, at bars. Like, there is nothing worse than when someone's like, I met him at a bar at 2 a.m. I'm like, do you see the intentions? Like, yes, people change, but that's also the phase of the life they're in right now. And if you think that because they met you at 2 a.m. after 20 tequila sodas, you're magically going to change them into the person you want, like, probably not. So, like, if you love pickleball, go to pickleball. If you love the gym, go to the gym. If you love like horseback riding, start horseback riding. Like, look for things you actually want to do with your partner. Because if you don't want to be drinking at the bar with him at 2 a.m., I probably wouldn't find him there.
Yeah. So true. Well, I want to be respectful of your time because like we
we went way over.
No, it's fine. I can keep going for hours. And he did say there may need to be a part two. So what I think we should totally do is let people sit with all of this insight and perspective that we shared. And I'd love to see what comes out of it just in terms of responses and maybe unanswered questions or like follow-up questions to this.
We could do an anon. They love the anonymous questions.
Yeah. Yeah. We could do a next episode. That's like, as a follow-up, like send us your anonymous questions and we'll go through them and like specifically answer them.
I love it.
Yeah. All right. Let's make it happen. So before you go, I have one final question.
Yeah.
And we obviously covered a lot, but if there was only one takeaway, like if somebody just had to have like a 30-second explanation of what you'd want to leave them with from listening to this entire conversation, what would it be?
If it is not a fuck yes, it is a fuck no. And anything you are doing, and there may be days where it feels hard and there may be days where you ponder and there may be days where you're like, wow, I'm not sure this is what I signed up for. But all in all, over time, it should always be a fuck yes and something you never want to know what life is about without it. Again, doesn't have to be a relationship, but anything you're doing. And know that you are worthy of everything you're asking for. You just might not be asking the right person. And if you ever need a girl's girl in your corner, if you feel like you don't have the support, we can be that for you. Please just reach out. Life is way too short to be wondering what if. And I hope you take the chance today.
Love it. And for the sake of staying connected with you, because who wouldn't want to after all that, where can people find you? Which we'll put all your links down in the show notes, but tell us your Instagram handle, all that sort of stuff.
Yes, I am a hot mess on everything I do. So come hang out. The fitness page, it has two eyes. I still haven't been able to get the regular handle. I tried to pay some girl for her handle.
I always wondered why you spelled it like that, actually. Now I know.
Because someone has the other one. So it's the fitness page with two eyes.
Cool. Well, like I said, we'll link it down in the show notes. And you're the best. And I just love you. And I'm so glad we made this happen. I can't wait for a part two.
I love you. I can't wait to celebrate your birthday soon.
Thanks. You're the best.
I'll talk to you soon.
Everybody who tuned in today from wherever you guys are listening from, we hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.